It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. It's Mark Husson. It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour coming to you live November 18th, 2024. It's about 8 a.m. on the Pacific coastline, 11 a.m. on the East Coast, 9 a.m. where I am, and it's wonderful wherever you are. I hope you're doing well. Thank you for coming to the show. If you're new or if you're a first-time listener and you want to join in some of the fun, you just go over to Facebook.com. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You join us on our Facebook page. You go to run2radio.com. Okay, I'll get there. I have to type and talk at the same time, and it just doesn't work. and when you get to run2radio.com, on the left-hand side is the word chat in a column. Click it, and it'll bring you over to the Facebook page, where you'll see that my colleague Jay has put up the banner. And also, there's a couple of comments in there. You just sort of scroll down to the bottom. You'll see the word comments. And if you click that, and right above the next thing that opens up, click all comments, and you will see Tara. Tara is in the house. Good morning from the Sag Moon to all of you. Good morning, Tara. Lynn Goldberg, happy Mondays. To Mark and the 1-2 community, sunshine blessings. Happy birthday, Lynn. I hope it was a great day for you. I meant to come over to Facebook and leave you a note and didn't, but you know my thoughts were there with you, so I hope it was beautiful. Hi, Renee. Welcome to the room. Okay, you guys, keep coming in. I'm going to check in the room. I have a lot to cover with you today. Now, we're ending the Gemini moon today, going into Cancer. So it's about, wait a minute, did it already happen? It already happened. Cancer moon all morning. That's right. Yay. All right. So not my fault that God's favorite sign is in the moon today on my show. What can I say? So here's the thing. I wondered how you guys were doing. I'm getting a lot of feedback in the world. A lot of you are still so angry and hurt. And I am so sorry that you're feeling dejected like that. And I just hope that you will come around and keep remembering that there's probably a new way to look at everything. And there's probably, I can guarantee this, especially if you look at this week ahead, there's new stuff coming. And listen, it's like, if you can just start with what you have in front of you, if you can just start like what's directly in front of you, your life, the people that you love. And you're going to hear me harping on this a little bit because it gets louder in my own personal world. I see people feeling dejected and hurt and worried and just like rah, rah, rah. And I get all that. But I also get like there is also reasoning and understanding, and there's a way to hold your life and the way that you look at the world that will allow things to make sense, because there is change in the air. And is it like, okay, only the change come when you approve of it? Or can the change come and you like, okay, how do I deal with this? Because we are such control freaks in so many ways. Like change is great. I love change until it happens and it's not the change I wanted. So join with me that you don't have to wire this as you've been victimized or you've been hurt or the world hates you. You don't have to do any of that. You can if you want. It's not my place to say, and people can say, you know, there's always some reason to cut somebody off. There's always a reason to cut some. I have cut so many people off in my life. I have cut so many people off in my life. I don't have regrets about it because I know that at the time what I was doing was what I thought was right to do. But when I talk to people that I've known forever, when I talk to the people that are around me in this instant, I hear it. I see it. There's a commitment. There's a commitment for some of them to not be okay. There's a commitment to wire the world that you are still the victim of a terrible, terrible world. And that's, I'm sorry, if you have that going on for you, I'm asking you to consider doing it a little differently or having another version just for your own well-being. Okay, just for your own sense of well-being. We get it so addicted to having a perspective. And I mean that. We are addicted to a particular perspective. And then we're sort of like, wait a minute, like what? Where am I? And then we don't know what to do. And that is all related to your sign. Every one of you is related to your sign. Every one of these is, and I'm going to go over it with you because this is so much fun to watch the world evolve and to know, like I have faced total fears in my life. You have too, right? And the way we enter each domain of fear is basically a summation of how we've dealt with it in the past, and we keep hopefully improving. Okay, and Pluto, changing signs tomorrow, forever, never going back to Capricorn, that is. It will be in Aquarius until 2040-something. It means something. It gives us, there's something here about a new road ahead. A new road map ahead. And I want to invite you to, like, whatever grievances you're feeling, to sort of see that as part of the old addiction. Okay? There's an addiction to counting what's wrong with us or what's wrong with the world. I am definitely stricken with that addiction. Boy, I can walk out and just criticize the hell out of the world. And there's something to be said about you've done this for so long that if you gave it up, was it all for? The sunken loss theory doesn't just apply to gambling. You've invested so much time and so much energy and so much anger and so much hope and so much fear and so much whatever into a perspective that giving it up is like, it could freaking kill you. But it doesn't have to. Sometimes giving it up, like walking away from the slot machine that you think you've been at for an hour and it deserves to hit. Sometimes walking away is the smartest, nicest, kindest thing you can do for yourself. And sometimes just accepting. What is? Just it is what it is. Just accepting it can be the greatest thing you could do for yourself. Coming back home, not dumping on the people that you're with, not dumping on the people at home, not always being the depressed, oh my God, you're the person this is affecting the most in the world. Okay? We're doing it together. But life doesn't have to be about like always being out for the enemy, right? Life doesn't have to be about always being out for the what's going to hurt me. Life can be about what can also bring me some joy. Depends on where you want to put it, all right? You and I together, we're going to look at what brings us joy. We're going to look at how to get through some of this stuff too. I don't like to be the little froofy guy who's got to be like, oh, it's all going to be okay. I think it is going to be okay. Sometimes it's just more hell to go through than you want, or sometimes it's, the heaven isn't long enough. Our happy times are too brief. You want to spend it moaning? If there's nothing really to moan about, you want to spend it doing that? That's fine. But come on. It's like we're moving. All right. So today is that Cancer moon. So we have a little bit of heart-centeredness happening. We can feel our emotional energies. It changed while we were sleeping, hopefully before, while you were in bed. It was at like 1 a.m. But this week is a big event. This week we're leaving Scorpio. We're leaving the sign that has taken us to our worst fears. And Scorpios, you know what? They're a fear-based sign. Why do I say that? They're fear-based because they look for it. They're looking for what's off. Virgo does it too. So you Virgos, you Scorpios, and wherever Virgo and Scorpio is in your chart, you're looking for the flaw. You're looking for the problem. You're looking for what could bite you. Makes good sense. It's a good way to camp. It's a good way to hunt. But we're leaving that time period. And this Thursday, the sun goes into Sagittarius, and I want to talk to you about what that's going to activate in your chart, because I can tell you that these things do get activated, right? Things get activated, literally. Like, we're going into Sag, and wherever Sag is in your chart, that's going to light up a little bit, a lot. And you're going to feel it, because what's happening is it's going to join other planets that are in fiery signs, and Pluto will be in an air sign, so that gets ignited. Mars will be in a fire sign. The moon will be in a fire sign on the day it changes. Mercury's in a fire sign. And so guess what fire has within it? Inspiration, spirit. It has a certain kind of spirituality to it. And if you have any doubt that we need that right now, then you ain't been paying attention. All right, so I want to talk to you a little bit about the wound of Sag, because that's the most important thing here that we're dealing with. Sagittarius, if you understand this area of your chart, whatever house it's in, if you have the moon there, it's even more intense for you. If you have a Sag rising, it counts. If you have the Sag sun, it counts. If you have Jupiter next to any personal planet, it counts. And Jupiter next to your Venus, Jupiter next to your Mars, Jupiter next to your sun, your moon, your rising sign, that all matters. It's all part of the mythology. And this mythology is about wanting something so bad that you turn away from it because you're so afraid that it'll get tarnished and tainted and not be exactly what you wanted. It's the archer, head up, arched back, looking ahead, coming from the underworld of Scorpio, right? Signs build on each other. So we're coming up from the underworld and we're lifting our head up and we're looking at the sky and we're going, what's next? But in true Sagittarius form, there's a problem. There's a thorn. And that's what I want to talk to you about. What is the thorn that you're holding on to? What is the thorn that keeps you going? What is the thorn that is the thing that reminds you that you're mortal and makes you really angry that you're mortal? Sagittarians, man, I'm telling you, children of Zeus, children of Jupiter, and wherever you have Sag in your chart, all of this stuff, there's a desire, there's a hope, there's a belief that you're so much more. You're part divine. Zeus was one, the king of gods, they called him. But he wasn't all powerful. He was just pretty much what you would expect for a male who has a lot of power and has been pampered his whole life. I know you don't know a lot of those people, but he, though, was bound emotionally, mentally, spiritually, legally, by order and virtue of the goddesses who were in charge, his mom, particularly Rhea. He was bound to Hera, who was also his sister, his wife, his lover. And they were equals. And so Zeus and Hera had this thing where the more he would, like, he wanted to go play the field, and so she would go hunt down anybody he was playing with, man, she would make sure, and the vice versa. She had a couple people that were in love with her, and this is how the story of Chiron gets started. One of these mortals was so in love with Hera, and she just wanted to throw it in Zeus's face, because that's what they do. Without each other, they'd be so bored, they'd be nothing. But she wanted to throw it in Zeus's face, like, Ixios loves me. And so Zeus, like, turns himself into a cloud and goes and says, let me see if it's true. And he pretends he took a cloud in the form of Hera and sent that to Ixios just to watch and see. And Ixios did. Of course, they had sex. Because of the weird rules of Greek mythology, a centaur is born, half horse, half person. So the immortal part is the top part, and the mortal part is the horse. And so whatever that symbolism is, but that started the whole race of centaurs. They explain why. I don't want to bore you. I might have already bored you. So this centaur, half horse, half God, is a healer, and he's amazing soul. Like, Well, let me say this, to be really specific. This horse that they created went and had a bunch of little horses. And one of the little horses, half horses, half centaurs, was the healer named Chiron. And Chiron was like a remarkable soul. One of those rare children that you get that are like, you see their specialness. Could heal people, talk gentle to people, became a leader among the centaurs. And Chiron, lovely, lovely Chiron, accidentally falls on one of these poison arrows that Hercules was using to kill his breed because there were some bad elements. And he's in pain for the rest of his life, like for eternity. He can't die. And it's the poison of a hydra, which is also a deity. And so this poison was excruciating, and it stayed in Chiron. I mean, he was just miserable. He couldn't die. He hated living. It changed everything. So let's stop right there. If you have Sag in your chart, wherever Sag is, this is some part of your psyche experience where you have a deep, 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 profound love and belief in something bigger and huger and your purpose, but you're bound by rules that exist here in the mortal world. That's kind of what that means. Now, that bind could be a person, it could be a job, it could be an event, it could be a physical ailment, it could be anything, but that thing that keeps you from reaching and growing and believing is the dualistic nature of Sag. Now, remember the dualism sign. That means that the signs that create a change for the season. Gemini creates the change from spring to summer. Virgo creates the change from summer to fall. Sagittarius creates the change from fall to winter. And Pisces, the winter to spring. So those signs have two completely different components. And even though we all do, those two signs have it the most predominant, and it's the easiest to track. Okay, so there's two sides to like the Virgo purity and the Virgo mess and the Gemini happy child, depressed child, Pisces ability to heal and the ability to suffer, and Sag's the ability to be a god and to be a mortal, not immortal. Okay, so Sag has both of those components in there, and they wrestle all the time. And wherever you have Sagittarius in your chart, you wrestle with that. And so you see these Sagittarians, if you know a Sag, you see them with this incredible desire to see their wisdom reflected in you. That's why we tease them that they're the chatterboxes, because they don't just want to talk. It's the opposite sign of Gemini. Gemini can talk to anybody about anything. Sag wants to talk to you about something that matters. They're the fire component, makes it really different. Sag wants to believe in something bigger. But Sages usually have a hard time confronting this wound. So they deny it. They ignore it. They push it aside. Now, Donald Trump has a Sagittarius moon. And you can see this kind of acted out a little bit. The grandiosity, but also confronting the confines of being mortal. In his reality, like he, just as he, you know, I'm sure in his reality, just as he ascends, he's just like pulled down and all, you know, has to face all the stuff he's done as a mortal. That's an example of wherever Sag is in your chart. Just as soon as you think you're getting somewhere, there's this thing that reminds you, wait a minute, you got to take out the garbage. there's trash to do. There's real life here. And I think it's a torment for Sagittarians. I think you can see it in them. I think that every Sag deep down inside, and every fire sign has this, but every Sag deep down inside has a profound belief that they were meant to do something special, that they were bigger than life. They are lucky because they're Jupiter ruled, and they're usually big. They're usually large, not only just in stature, but like it rules the legs, the archer. Look at the thighs of a Sag. They have oftentimes cute little things like a horsey laugh, like a neigh. They can be boisterous. They can be larger than life in terms of, you know, their stories that they tell. And every story, they, you know, they don't ever want to sound boring. And if you have Saturn in Sag, that's particularly true for you. I had a Saturn in Sag friend. Dear God, you could see the fear of looking like your life was boring. So we even made a game after them. I'm keeping everything evasive, but we used to even have a game because it would be like they could make this event even more special, okay? So Sagittarians, if you see this, so if you have Sag like in your second house of money, you sometimes feel like the richest person in the world and the poorest. You've known both. You know, and if you're a Sag rising, you come across as like a great orator or somebody who's very, very jovial. And at the same time, maybe get afraid of showing that you also have duties and responsibilities that aren't related to that. Okay, it's the fight. It's the constant internal fight. And we're entering that time period where we're going to be able to be confronted, and we will be confronted, with two components that are basically Sagittarian. It's, are we going to be gods and goddesses, or are we going to be condemned to a mortality in a prison? And I think that's the fear we struggle with. I think it's being made clear that fear is sort of like, you know, taking a lot of the consciousness. But it, oh, and we, I have a lot more comments to check on, you guys. Let me check on real quick, because when I first came, I guess I came a little early, and now I see a ton. So let me just say hi, please, real quick. Let's see. Judith is in the house. Hi, Judith. Mary Jean, hi. Quelly, good to see you. Denise, Mark, you're so right on. Changes and challenges ahead, and can be inspiring if one lets it. I'm a Sag, and you have a moon in Virgo, a rising in Scorpio. Denise, thank you. And you know, that's the other thing I want to say, and I'll get to this, even though I like to talk about the wound and the shadow, because I think that's an important thing that we don't get to, you know, it's called a shadow because we don't see it. And so we have a shadow. The United States has a Sag rising chart. So we have a shadow, we have a dark side, but we also, you know, I say that so we can like look at it and bring light to it, not so we can just sort of judge it. So Judith says, Jupiter and Gemini overload new idea stuff. It's making me throw out so much old stuff. Now I'm cleaning and sorting by candlelight, easier on the eyes. Charlene, big hug to Mark and the 1-2 friends working through the moon shift. Woke up at 4 a.m. this morning, sloshing around in all the past incidents where I might have hurt someone by being me, nagging voice in my head, working through it. Charlene, lovely, lovely. Now, here's the thing. We don't know who you are now, and this is so important, please. Who you are now might be different than that person that was hurt by something you think you said, right? And sometimes in that moment, some of what you're saying is the thing that needs to be in the space. So the forgiveness comes in by remembering you were who you were then, right? That's who you were. We have a lot, and I have to do the same thing. That was my perspective at the time. And at the time, I have to believe that those two synergies came together for a reason, that my personality met the other person's personality for a reason. And I defended it the best I could of who I was. So bring some love in there, girl. Don't linger on the you as a past. There's truly an ability to forgive, and whether or not the other person ever can, but their job when things come at us, our job when things come at us is to wrestle them through to find the place where we can be okay with who we are. And we can remember that loving can kind of erase the pain of not being very loving. Radical acceptance, says Judith. Laura, good morning. Eva, thank you for being here. Hi, Maya, thank you. Jennifer's in the house. Hi, Jennifer. Jennifer and Peggy are in the house. Both of those are advisors at 12listen.com who we've had an extraordinary week. I know that a lot of phone calls have been coming in at 12listen.com. I know a lot of people are scared. My staff is ready to be with you and to really be there in a loving and objective way. I promise, for everyone. Lori Love, Mark, Scorpio rising, Virgo moon here. The accuracy, I feel attacked. Lori, you're adorable. She has a show right after Cats. Thank you for being here. Penny, thank you for coming. Hi, Pamela, how are you? Good to see you. Joni, good morning, Mark. Right on to your opening. And love your input on the mythology. Oh, you know, You guys, thank you for the love, Joni. That's very kind. I love the Centaur mythology, says Chris. I know. It's very powerful, you guys. Liz Green is brilliant, and she talks about it. It's a little hard to get through because she likes using the official Greek names, but we're going to cover that a little more because he was a sweetheart. And how the story ends is very sad, but it's also very healing. So we're going to continue it. Patricia, thanks for being here. Jay, thanks for being here, Jay, and thanks for putting up the chart. Always appreciate what you do. Jay is also an advisor at One to Listen. It's like here he's in the role of being our radio producer, but he also is an advisor at One to Listen. Jay wears many hats. I know you all are getting to know Jay. Laura, thanks for being here. And Jackie, good golly, it's Markology. My wordsmith, Jackie. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So here's the thing, guys. It's appropriate that we're talking about Sag under the Scorpio umbrella of the sun. So we still have a few more Scorpio birthdays to get through. Happy birthday, Ethne. But it's good from here to see what happened in that myth because it gives us the strength of Scorpio to take a look at hardcore. So poor little Chiron, best friends with Hercules, lovely, lovely being, falls on this arrow, gets wounded, is in miserable pain. Now, Hercules, in the meantime, this is so interesting because the ruler of Aquarius, the mythological ruler, is Prometheus. Because Prometheus stole fire and brought it down to Earth. Because Zeus is an asshole, let's just face it. Zeus, you know, pricky guy. But he has his good points too. And so Prometheus, Zeus was like, I hate humans. They can live without fire, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Prometheus took it to them and gave us fire, basically, and then got punished for it to have his liver eaten out every single day by Zeus. Now, Hercules freed him, and Zeus is pissed, and he's like, okay, you have to give me a replacement. Well, guess who volunteers? The lovely sweetheart Chiron. Chiron says, look, I'm in pain anyway, dude. It's not just daily eating out my liver. And Zeus was very moved by this and sort of took him and made him a constellation. That's how we have the constellation of Orion, because of the sacrifices of Chiron. Okay, now let's break this down a little more. Wherever you have Sag in your chart, you are a true healer. You do healing. If you have it in your second house, like I said, you heal money. You can heal your body. If you have it in the third house, you might be the healer with siblings. You might have healed your relationship with somebody. I'm going to use the healing umbrella because I want you to believe and understand that you have that. Wherever it is in your chart, we all have a component where we do healing. And the reason we can do healing is because we believe in something bigger. We believe that there's something more for us. And I think that is also defined as hope, optimism, reality. And we can bring hope, or we can seek hope, and we know what it does when we have that as our mission. We know what it does when we give somebody else a reason to have it. That's why all this complaining, all this victim-y stuff that we do, it sort of like dampens hope. Because you're like, where's my hope? I'm hopeless. I'm sorry that you feel hopeless, but if you can't muster up a reason to believe in something, if you can't give that to yourself, then to me, you're being abusive to you and maybe to the people around you. How can your children, if you have children or your family members or your animals, my little boys, I want to keep happy for my boys, my little doggies. Sounds so silly when you're not feeling your heart, but you know, they deserve to have a daddy that sort of loves on them and remembers to come up and kiss them all the time and tell them, you know, they're amazing. And when I do that, I know I'm doing it to myself. I know I'm giving my household a feeling of kind of love. And where we're going with this, what you're hearing in me is the onset of Sagittarius. This is where it is. You got to shake this off. You got to believe that you're not the victim somewhere in there. And you have to believe that there's a fire you can follow inside of you. There's a point of hope. Don't erase that. So if Sag is in your third house, in your fourth house, you might have had a Sagittarian type father. And that could have been somebody now who did the negative part, the Zeusy parts. But I can tell you this. If you know a Sag, if you know a Sag moon, if you know a Sag rising, it doesn't hurt to be kind to them, to be encouraging to them, flattering to them. All the fire signs, you guys, no matter what, how we deal with this, and we all are components of every astrological sign, all the fire signs love a little ego stroking. It doesn't hurt to say you're true, but you got to do it authentically. You can't just go flatter. You got to be like, this is real. You're pretty amazing. And when you do something like that to somebody who's not feeling it, and they can let it in a little bit, you just gave them the torch. You just gave them something. And you know what they'll give back? The same Jupiterian experience. If you're doing this with Sagittarian people, the profound gift that comes back is kind of amazing. If you've ever had a fire sign friend, right? Fiery friend, Aries, Leo, Sag, they might look like they're like, they have an ability to take care of themselves and keep themselves as the focus. They're really good at it, and wherever you have it in you, you're good at it there. But you ever notice that moment that surprises you when they bring it back on you, and it's like, wow, it's unashamedly inspired? It's like, ooh, that felt good. See, Tauruses have that little magic too, because when you're good to a Taurus and they come back with a little bit of like goodness on you, it's sort of like, oh, that felt good. But there's something about the fiery nature of the fire signs that if you can feel it, it's kind of addicting. And what I'm pointing to is not about just the people around you. It's using the Sagittarian moment when the sun goes into Sagittarius Thursday morning. It'll be just early afternoon for most of us, but like 11, like noon on Pacific time, right? Just before noon. When it enters Sag, there is a new sort of fiery torch we get to carry. And I'm just saying, I think it'll be feel good. I think it'll feel like we can finally lift our heads up a little higher. I love Scorpio because I live in that realm and I can see the worst of anything that's going on. So if you're hearing me say, you don't have to look for the worst, I already did it. And I'm telling you, you don't have to look anymore. It's okay. And when this sun comes Thursday and enters Sagittarius, there is the opportunity to use Jupiter to further ourselves, to bring us into the light a little more, to bring a little hope in. And honestly, I think if you do that, you get rewarded for it under Sag, under the sort of Jupiter energy of benevolence and kindness. I think the kinder we are, the more hopeful we can be. And it's not just tolerance. It's believing it ain't about who's the president in our lives. It's about who's present in yours. And it's an awkward play on words, but it's you being here for you. I don't care who's happening in that outside movie. It's you being here with you. Turn off the noise and like, let's make some plans to get rich, to get abundant, to get whole, to get spiritual, to get healthy. Like, let's make that the Sagittarian gifts that we have. Let's use Chiron's sacrifice, symbolic sacrifice. Now, I know there's a lot of Christian metaphor for sacrifice. Use that if you want. They're beautiful. Jesus was a great, great reflection of sacrifice for love. Chiron, great sacrifice for love. But you don't have to recreate it. You don't have to sacrifice yourself. You don't have to martyr yourself. You don't have to do any of those things to bring a sense of that hope back into your life and to extend it to your family. And a lot of you, I know you're feeling, a lot of you are overwhelmed because you have real life problems going on. Nothing to do with politics, but you have real life problems going on. Bring some hope and light in there. Let the fire be healing. Believe in the Sag cycle that there is such a thing as true miracle. True breakthrough. Why not? Because you can convince yourself none of that's true and it's all magical thinking, or you could convince yourself, so what? One feels good, one feels like shit. I can promise you. You all know that anyway. So That's happening Thursday. But guess what's happening tomorrow? Pluto entering Aquarius, like I told you already, for the never to go back into Capricorn. And if you break down Aquarius, remember what I told you Prometheus did? Brought fire. Isn't that an interesting symbol? Aquarius, rebel to the core, called the water bearer. The mythology is about bringing fire to mankind, and then being an air sign. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Aquarius breaks all the rules constantly. And that Pluto is the generational Aquarius. That is like the one, the zeitgeist, the change. And it's going to be a change in technology. It's going to be a change how we understand things. And it's going to include humanity. It has to. It's Pluto. It's Aquarius. I mean, think about it. Prometheus brought fire not just to his girlfriend or his boyfriend. He brought it to all people. And we're the better off for it. And Pluto is moving there. And every time Pluto changes signs, we get a gift. Every time it leaves a sign, we get a gift. And if you look, and how what you call a gift, it's subjective, but you can certainly look at, if you thought everything that was coming your way was a gift that you get to open and figure out what you're going to do with, that's what I call the successful maneuvering of life. Being able to take whatever comes down, figure out what you're doing with it, and do something with it. You can even put it on a shelf and we'll deal with it later. But it's your ability to do that. And what's that as opposed to you going, I can't do this anymore. I'm overwhelmed. I can't budge. Forget you all. I'm hiding. I'm covering my head and I'm going away. That's a way to cope. No question. The only thing I would suggest is if you would do that, if you had a child, would you do that? Would you want your child to believe that you have no hope left and that you have to cover your head and go away? And if that's where you're at, I think we should call child protective custody. For you, stop doing that to yourself. Just stop it. It's going to be, I mean, I don't need to say it's going to be okay. It doesn't even matter. You have to find where it's okay for you. You have to do that for yourself. Now, we're coming into this cycle. This is the Cancer moon. So over the next couple of days, it's going to be about security, and we're going to be feel a little insecure. We might feel emotional. But one of the gifts of Cancer that you could do to make yourself feel better is to make somebody else feel better. Extend some hope to somebody else. You could do the woe is me thing and walk around like you're the big victim of it all, and you know nobody has it worse than you and your gender or your race or whatever. Or you could extend a little bit of hope, a little bit of soothing salve to the people in your life that need a little strength. You could start reflecting that a little bit. I am doing that in my life. I actually think in some ways I'm getting punished for it. And I mean, that's the little victim in me. But for the most part, because you can feel people, you know, their resistance. And like a lot of people don't like it if you're happy or if you're, I mean, they find a reason, like whatever, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But what's important is that you keep living the life you want to live, right, for you. And if that means you lose people along the way, you lose them. If that means you gain people along the way, you gain them. But the most important thing is you keep this part of you strong, the center core. All right, we have, okay, so I'm going to go over like at least some of the details with you, and then I'm going to look and see what the room is doing. Now, remember, Kathleen Hall is up next. We also are doing sales this week, Wednesday, Friday sales at One to Listen. The sales are profound. We're just making them really work for everybody. So if you're on a budget, pick a sale day and call. If you're not on a budget, pick a call if you need to talk to somebody just to get your head clear, okay? All right, let me hit this. I just got to go to make sure I'm not missing any comments. I have to clean this and go all comments. There we go. And I'm just scrolling down real quick. I think we're okay. I don't think there's a lot going on, but let's see. Lori Love, your pups are lucky to have you. That's so sweet. Hey, Kat's in the house. Thanks, Kat. Thanks for being here. She's up next. I'm really relieved this Scorpio season, says Judith. Honestly, it's been intense. Long live the Archer. Judith, your mind is lovely. Okay. Oops, I missed the beginning of the story. This Sag always late. Pluto opposition going on. Love that, Mark. True miracle. Good morning, Mark, Jay, and all. Hi, Judy. Welcome. Yeah, Capricorn is celebrating. Capricorns are celebrating Pluto going into Aquarius, which is so cute. Child protective custody. Thanks, Julie. I'm so glad you love that. Okay, so here's the thing. When you're an Aquarian, so the next, let me see, is it 14 years? It might be 15 or so. Might be 20. Wait, I have it. How long is Pluto going to be in Aquarius? Let's look real quick, because I know. Here it is. Okay. 2043. So this is a big one. 20 years. Now, if you're an Aquarian and you were born in January, let's say January 19th through, the first week. Let's just give it the first week or so. Maybe just till January 19th through February 1st, those 2 weeks. Over the next 2 or 3 years, your life will change. Now, why that might be scary to hear, I don't know. But I can tell you this. What Pluto gave me, because Pluto's been through mine, I just had it opposing my son when it was in Capricorn. What changed was a sense of inner strength. What changed when it first hit my rising sign was a sense of, what the hell are you tearing yourself up for? I think I told you guys this. Pluto in Scorpio, I'm a Scorpio rising. I was accused of something that didn't happen. I mean, I'll just go there. And it was a sexual thing. It was that somebody was really mad at me and they made up the story and they ran a coffee house, right? And you can believe anything you want. You're only hearing my side of the story, but I can promise you, I am as naive and clean sexually as it comes. I mean, I'm just a nerd. But this accusation was involving like a person that worked at the coffee shop. And it was like saying that, you know, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't ugly, but it was like, God, okay, Jesus. It was a lie. And it was, and I was devastated. I was devastated because I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know how you deny something. I don't know what the proper way to deny something is. This is Pluto now. This is a Pluto transit, exact. And so, you know, I had the love of my friends and John, and I was just a wreck. I was like, I don't know how you deny something. You sound guilty if you deny it. You just like, okay, I don't know. Do you just say it didn't happen? That's not true. Or why are you being so mean? Blah, blah, blah. And so I went to get coffee. I was just going to stand up for myself. And the people behind the coffee counter turned their backs like they weren't going to wait on me, right? And I am devastated. Like, this is me. I am a shy person. I was like, oh, my God. It was so mean. So I was like, okay, I won't go back to the coffee shop. It doesn't matter. But it was bugging me. And I remember saying a prayer. I was just like asking for help. I was really thick into the course at the time. And I was just like, please help, because I don't know what to do. And this little voice in my head said, you're being accused of having way more sex than you're having. Nothing illegal, nothing wrong, right? But you're being accused of something that's like most people would wear as a badge of honor. And it healed me. It just changed my whole attitude. It's like, so fucking what? Okay, this is great. I mean, it changed my life. This little thought, in this moment of deep, dark, depressing pain, it changed my life. And you know what? I went to the coffee shop the next day. And I got the help yourself coffee cup, said hi to people that were there, laughed, and not the staff. Of course, they're still hating on me. But I didn't care, because it was like, I can't change what people do. I can't. I'm not going to do it. And it was so healing to me that it stuck with me for the rest of my life. And that happened, gosh, I guess 25, 26, 27 years ago. It was a long time ago. Pluto in Scorpio, right? When Pluto was in Scorpio. So if you're an Aquarian and you're looking at Pluto coming your way, it like mine was quick and dirty and it was an intense transit. People were like, oh, you're going to hate the transit. It was like, It was a big lesson to learn. So important to me to learn this lesson. You have no idea. You have no idea. I'm so grateful for that lesson because since then I've had the company, right? The 1-2 company. And I remember one of the little shits that worked for me that just became so bad. I mean, just whatever. I'm not even going to get in. I mean, said was spreading things about me that were just not true. Just not true. And one of them was, Mark's the biggest pothead I ever met. I hate pot. Really, I do. And I was like, wow, how do you change that? How do you defend it? If I hadn't had the experience of this, you know, sexual tryst accusation, I would not know. And guess what? I didn't care. People are going to talk about you. People are going to say whatever. And who matters? The people that you're with that love you, that get you. So we do that all the time with people who are celebrities. I am so not in that category. I'm not even comparing myself. But look, notice how we talk about people that are big and know and well known. We have no idea, but anything can be dropped and you can go, oh, I believe that. And that's what happens. We believe what we want to believe that fits our, so it doesn't put us into cognitive dissonance, right? We believe that. And so if you're believing it's the end of the world, you might want to look and say, why am I believing that? What is my need to have that be so confirmed? And that might be a key to the shadow that is running the show here that says you do feel that you are a second-class citizen and don't deserve to be here. And maybe that's where some love can start. So Pluto in Aquarius, yeah, it's definitely gonna take you in and open you up because that's what Pluto does. It's the ruler of the underworld. So you get to be an honorary Scorpio for a while, little Aquarians. And little Aquarian moons, you get to be honorary Scorpios. That's what happens. You get deep. Not that you aren't deep, but you get deep in the emotional sense. You get to look at fears that you're afraid to look at. Aquarians are very afraid to look at certain things that don't fit. I think cognitive dissonance, that inability to take two facts that seem contradictory and work them out. I think Aquarians are the kings and queens of that phenomenon. And I think wherever we have Aquarius, we have beliefs set up. I think they get to be challenged. And I think that's what's going to... I'm going to be here for you. Now, fixed signs like Taurus and Scorpio are going to have this squaring their stuff. I'm not a big fan of squares. But if you look and see if anybody you know was an Aries... Pluto the whole time in Capricorn squared the Aries sign and the Libras. Did they do okay? If they did, I think we have reference that we're going to be fine. So don't let it freak you out when you see these things. We're going to go through them each time they evolve. We still have Saturn to deal with going into Aries. We still have Neptune going into Aries. And we still have Uranus leaving Taurus and going into Gemini. And then you get to talk to Tauruses, the people who are least friendly to change, and see if they did okay. And I have a feeling every single Taurus you talk to is going to say it was definitely the most interesting ride of my life, and I'm okay. I think you're going to find most Tauruses landed on their feet. I think that's sort of like the lesson for all of us, right? We land, you know, life sucks sometimes. We had Kelly on last week on CA's show talking about just the whole Buddhist idea that it's not supposed to be a joyride. And we'll get into that later, deeper. But it can be a ride that you remember. When you remember it's not supposed to be a joyride, you kind of like keep your sights on something a little bigger. Okay, and I'm not just trying to slip in some sort of spiritual, it's God, it's not. It's something rich that we all get to have and come to terms with, and each person finds it on their own. I'm getting ready to wrap up here, you guys. I'm going to say, let me see. Yeah, I'm scrolling back again. I think quite a few of us know the wrongfully accused wound Thank you for sharing on how to flip it in your head. Awesome problem. It was not, Judith, I had nothing to do with it. It was like this part of me, this little voice, just like it was so beautiful. I mean, that moment, you guys, was so beautiful. And how can you talk about being wrongfully accused, right? And not only wrongfully, it was maliciously accused. It was malicious. It was not anything to do with anything true, I promise. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm just wanting you to get my reality of it. And you don't know how to get out of it. And one little, you don't know what to do. You're sort of struggling with it because the world's looking at you now in a weird way. And then all of a sudden, this little light bulb goes off and changes everything. To the point where I can sit there and laugh with you about it, it's sort of like, oh my God, that is so funny. I did get an apology later, a really sincere apology, running into the person who started it in a park, literally. And I was so at peace inside myself. And he said, I know what I did was horrible. And I'm so like, da da da. And I said, I can hardly remember it. I was like so removed from it. I didn't care. I didn't care. It was like I didn't want to say you gave me the greatest gift you could give me because I didn't want to give that much credit out. I wasn't that forgiving. I still am a Scorpio. I'll tell you some of my vengeance Scorpio stories soon too. When it's appropriate, I should have done that under the Scorpio sun. I guess I'll wait a year. Tara says, Pluto has been in a major area of my chart for most of my life. I have a whole ton of Scorpio in my chart. Sag moon, Capricorn sun, Aquarius rising. So that letting go of the Pluto energy for me will need to wait for the next transit, I think. Yeah, let's see. You have a whole lot of Scorpio. You have an Aquarius rising. Yeah, I mean, Tara, Scorpio energy, that Pluto energy, it's part of you then. You know what I mean? It's you. It's who we are. It's like the person who's not afraid to look deep. It's the person who doesn't want to have, like, how's the weather conversations? It's the person who says, yeah, I stay here and I'm pretty serious. It's fine. Yes, it is a part of you. And you want to embrace that and love every single morsel of it. Like, I have Scorpio rising, Saturn in Scorpio, Scorpio moon. I remember an astrologer said, you should try to smile. Condescending. Ooh. And I said, what do you mean? She said, you scrunch a lot. I mean, I should have facial lines a lot more that show scrunch. And they're right. I have to walk into places and tell myself, smile, fake it. Just get that smile on your face because I look so pensive because it's all going on inside and I have a moon on my ascendant. So people see like, oh, and you know, it's living in a world, right, that sees you. It's kind of crazy. You guys, I can't thank you enough for all that you do, for all that you are, for your bravery, for your willingness to come to the show and just play, because this didn't have to be an easy show or doesn't have to be something you do in your routine, and you do it. And I love that you do it because sometimes my Sag part just needs to blab. But you mean the world to me, and I just want to make sure you know that. Each and every one of you, just the fact that you actually hear and come and play. 1-2 Radio is continuing to thrive and be alive. I hope you'll stay tuned for the amazing Kathleen Nicholson coming up. She will do readings in the room. She kind of like it's part of her DNA. You know, you can't talk to Kat and not expect some insight from her. It's really great to have her as a friend. Also, Lori Love follows that, followed by Jamie Dawn, and then Serena Leon. Amazing, amazing people. And then we're having sales all week at 1-2-Listen. Please support the 1-2-Listen group. Call and try it. I think you're going to be crazy impressed. And also the chat room, we have a chat. You can just do chat. You don't have to use your voice. You don't have to say who you are. It's 1,000,000% anonymous. I'm not kidding. I not only insisted on it when I met the company who created the technology, they demanded it. They won't even give us an email address. I mean, they're crazy, freaky, protective. And I love that. And I love that for you. You guys, thank you again. This is Mark Husson. This is Mark's Astrology Hour. I'm signing out. We're going to party under this Cancer moon. And Thursday, happy birthday, Sagittarius. We'll be talking more about you next week. You guys have a lovely week. We're here for you. I promise.